Before I start, I want to pray for Bob. He didn't know his mama passed away. And Thursday is the funeral in McMinnville. What is it, 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. And visitation at 11? 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Okay, if you would you bow your heads this morning? Father, we thank you so much for Bobby and his Paulette, Lord, what they mean to us. And Lord, at this time we lift him up to you and his family, that you would prepare them and bless them. And thank you for, Lord, what we know about his mother and the peace that you gave her the last several days. Lord, we know it's difficult, but Lord, we know that you're in control. And we just pray for blessing and peace and strength for Bobby and his family. We love him, Lord, and we appreciate everything he does. Give him power, give him strength, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn to Nehemiah. Probably one, this is the last time, maybe, I don't know. I've got a lot out of Nehemiah. This won't be any different. If we would go back and look at the Old Testament, sometimes we find out what we need to know. The scriptures are clear. I started out several weeks ago as 1 Corinthians, I believe it was, that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Talked about the temple, talked about the walls. I'm going to finish talking about the walls this morning. And the most important thing that we understand is that God uses the word repair in Nehemiah. We're supposed to do the work of the Lord, which is a lot, isn't it? But he's not asked us to do anything that wasn't already done before. It just needs to be repaired. Everything that you'll hear this morning and last week, you'll hear that God just wants us to rebuild what he already did. It's nothing new. It's not our creation. It's not in our mind and heart to do anything. But what he does and what he gives, he asks us to repair it. And in Nehemiah, you're going to hear that word, and we're going to talk about that. But again, before we start, I want to ask if you bow your heads as we pray. Father, for this word that you've given us, that you've given to me the last several weeks, we thank you for your power, your strength, your authority. And Lord, we pray this morning that we can understand more than we ever have. Lord, as the world gets worse, and it's supposed to, we're supposed to gain strength, and you need to. And we pray this morning that you would be a blessing to us in every way. Lord, you would open our heart and our eyes and give us understanding and give us power as we go. Help us to realize what we're in and how you want us to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The first thing that is important in Nehemiah chapter 3 is the design of how God went about with Nehemiah to build the walls around the city of Jerusalem. The temple was there for a long time. Ezra did that in 46 years. And I don't know, approximately 14 years, they say, later, Nehemiah came to build the walls around it. And the gates is what we're going to talk about through today. And the most important thing is we see God's design. And when we see God's design and understand this, he's doing the same thing in the church today that he's doing in Nehemiah chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even under the tower of Mea. They sanctified it under the tower of Haniel. Now, there's 10 gates at this time and 12 later on. Revelation, there's 12 gates. A lot of differences as you go through the scriptures, as the temple in Jerusalem is war-torn so many times. But Jerusalem is the place of God. It's where we're talked about in Psalms, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's the center of worship. That's where God's presence and God's power exists. Even today, it's going to still be here, isn't it? And the very first of the 10 gates, if you can get a picture of Israel, maybe that way. On the very east, northeast, is the first gate. and it goes counterclockwise all the way around. Different people build each gate, and it's for a reason. Is the first gate that we see is the sheep gate, and the priests build the sheep gate. The sheep gate is where the sheep come through for sacrifice. It was a big place, approximately 135 acres, but there was a wall around with gates, and inside there was the temple. The temple was rebuilt. They're repairing the rubble, taking away the ruins, and rebuilding the walls. And the priests, those that would be doing the sacrifice of the sheep, were the ones that was building the sheep gate. Look at verse 2. And next unto him, right beside him, builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar the son of Imri. Verse 3, but the fish gate did the sons of Hashanah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Now, that's places already. There's the sheep gate, then the men of Jericho built beside them, then the fish gate, where the fish came through, the fish to sell, the fish to eat, sheep gate, fish gate. It was important. And each gate, we're going to stop there and go down a little bit further to get the understanding. Every gate was built by a certain group of people. They were assigned by Nehemiah to be a part of that gate in the wall. And that's all they built all the way around the 10 gates. Okay? The sheep gate, the fish gate. Look at verse 28. From above the horse gate repaired the priest, everyone over against his house. The horse gate was repaired by the priest, and they had their houses. Good reason to put them assigned to a place where their houses join the wall, or close to it. Huh? So I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just to say that every gate was assigned to a people or a group that had something to do with what was going to come in and out of that gate once the wall was built. Once the wall was completely built all the way around, there would be peace inside and outside. There'd be the presence of God in the temple, the worship. There would be freedom to use the gates to know what's coming in and what's going out. But the most important thing, we're going to look at a couple of these. If you go down, you'll see over against, or builded and repaired beside. Look at verse 8. Next unto him repaired Uzel. And then verse 9. Next unto them repaired Rephaiah. And then next unto them repaired Jedidiah in verse 10. Verse 10. Verse 12. And next unto him repaired Shalom. And all the way around, they all repaired the gate that they were assigned. Okay? And they repaired it by putting it back the way it was at the very beginning when Solomon built the temple. There wasn't any changes. God doesn't ask us to change anything. He's the one that's building the church, isn't he? And it is amazing, and we're not there yet, but the Bible says that God will build his church in what? The gates of hell will not prevail. We're going to preach that here pretty soon. The devil has walls and gates, doesn't he? He's got a gate, but he's not going to stop us. He's not going to bother us. So we have people that were assigned, people that were beside, and people that repaired. And the most awesome thing is if you look over at chapter 4, verse 6, it says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. It was a remnant. It was a small group. There were people still in Babylon that didn't come back. There were still people inside of Jerusalem that were nobles that were too good to build. But those people that were assigned and those people that built, in chapter 4 and verse 6, they built the wall. The wall was completely joined together all the way around because they had a mind of work and they built it halfway up. It was completely completed around. All the gates were there, and who assigned to build them was building them. They repaired beside each other. Now, this is the most important thing. They did it in 52 days. Go over to chapter 6. real quick. In verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. It was completed from the day this started. Now there's a lot of stuff in between. But to get started, there was a big area. There was a big wall. It covered around 135 acres approximately. It was 40 foot high, and it was 8 foot thick rock in a lot of places. That was a lot of hard work. Different people took part in it. They didn't hire one contractor to do it all and get back with them and give them a bill. Everybody did what they were assigned to do, and everybody did it at the very same time. And in 52 days, everybody was finished. They didn't have time to look to the left. They didn't have time to look to the right. They was busy about whatever they was assigned to do. The church is the same. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about those that are saved. Those that are children of the Lord. Those that have been washed in the blood. Those are the church today. And every one of us has an assignment, don't we? And every one of us is busy building standards, walls, and things that's already been there before that we're repairing. Morality and things that's coming in the world that's been here for a long time that's rose up last several years, hasn't it? It's our responsibility, as God assigns us, just like in the day of Nehemiah, that whatever part we have, we understand how important it is and how quickly the wall went up compared to the 46 years the temple was built. It was a quick work. It was a serious work. There was a lot of people involved, and it took them 52 days. They were busy. They was wanting to finish. They was wanting to get through. They was wanting, from last week we studied about, they wanted to take the reproach away because there was a temple, but there was ruin and rubble all the way around and no walls and no gates. And you see, the problem that we're fixing to see is they needed to pray. There was a reason why that they needed to pray. Look at chapter 4. We're going to spend the rest of the time in chapter 4. But when it came to pass that when Sanballat, remember he was the governor, one of the governors, heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. He spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubble which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even they which build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Now Nehemiah has to pray. That's a reason to pray, isn't it? They were in the process. They were halfway up with the wall. And the best kind of prayer and the best time to pray is when you're being attacked while you're working. Before there was a wall, before there was any gates, the enemy, the immorality, the perverted people, just like today, when there's no standards and there's no gates, there's no walls, we have worship, we have the church, but when the reproach is so bad that there's no standards anymore and there's no wall built, there's no problem. They can come and go like they want. They can say what they want, and they did, didn't they? They don't have any threats. It's just equal. There's a lot of people just like this. I know I'm saved, but I'm just not doing what I need to do right now. And I plan to. I want to. I feel guilty sometimes. I get convicted when I go to church. And it's not much of a hurry to get things done. But when somebody like Nehemiah is called by God, and there's a remnant of people that are called with him, and they begin to get things done, they get all the wall built around, they get the gates, but they get it just halfway up, then the enemy attacks. And look what they said. He said, "These people are feeble." Don't look too feeble, do they? What they've accomplished with different people, with different jobs and different callings, priests and different folks,
It says, will they fortify themselves? Are they going to build themselves up? He was mocking them. And he said, will they sacrifice? Are they going to sacrifice to God? Will they make an end in a day? Are they going to get it done that quick? Will they revive the stones out of the heap of the rubble which are burned? They made fun of them. They mocked them and everything. When we begin to work, and you see, this is a guarantee. I learned this pastor a long, long time ago. I need to be busy about building what I've been assigned to build and nothing else. God promises to send the people. And you know who the people are because they're the ones that are building and working. They're the ones that are doing what they're assigned to do. And it's different peoples in the same church with the same Savior, even though they got a different name on the sign. We're all building together with whatever we've been assigned. And we're all building at the same time. We're not waiting on everybody to get done before we do our part. They didn't start at the first gate and wait till they've done. Everybody did the same thing at the same time. And it got done a whole lot quicker. In the day and time we live in, that's the way businesses, corporations, that's the way they operate. We have somebody that runs this department, somebody that runs this department. This person's assigned and he's doing this. He's not doing what he's assigned. He's doing that. And all through government. We got Social Security. We got Department of Defense. All these things. And they're assigned to it. And they're not waiting on me. They're not waiting on you. They're not waiting on anybody. They're busy doing what they need to do. And one day, it'll come together and we'll be able to see what's happening. When those people got done building what they were supposed to build, 52 days was a long time with what they was going through. But when it was done, they could see the whole project. They could see the whole thing. One of these days, we're going to see the whole thing finished up when we all get to heaven. When we all get where God promised us to be. We're doing our assignments right now. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're busy obeying what the Lord says. But we have people just like this that are governors that are in charge that's leading people against us. They weren't against us like they was now because we weren't building. When they begin to build, when they begin to organize, when they begin to be successful, then the enemy attacked them. We're doing all right as long as everybody's in control and there's so much freedom that nobody has any assignments. As long as we can still get ours and as long as we can still make money and as long as nobody's really messing with us a whole lot. But when the standard comes down and the revival begins in the church and God changes the government and the morality begins to change, and there's standards now. The gates are closed. And we know who's coming in and we know who's staying out. It's designed in a way for protection, for safety. In the case of Jerusalem, for holiness. What an awesome place to be in Jerusalem back in the day of Nehemiah. For years and years and years they were in Babylon. Judged by God, rightly so. But then King Cyrus sent out a decree and sent them back, and Ezra began to build the temple. It took a long, long time. Got it finished, but it wasn't good because there was no walls, there was no gates. But Nehemiah was called, wasn't he? In stages, in churches, in our families, in our lives, we don't get it all at one time, do we? Some people start, finish, and somebody else takes over and goes further, don't they? And when God is in control of it, and when it's finished, we can step back and say, look what God has done. That same wall, for the most part, same temple, stood for when Jesus was alive, when Jesus talked about the temple. That was a long time, 400 or 500 years, that what these people did was still standing. We don't know that in our nation, what, 200, how many, 250, how many years? Almost 250, is that right? Does anybody know? Anyway, it's been a long time, but it's not been that long. What they built has stood longer than anything that we've ever been able to see built in the United States of America. All kinds of people, if we went through it, you'd be amazed at what kind of people God used. He used them and assigned them. And everything that they did in their part had something to do with what they were going to be doing. From the priest to the fisherman, there was a water gate. There was all kinds of gates that had a reason. There was the where they brought people in to be healed. And it was all the way around covered. But when the people began to rise up in the first three verses, and when they got so mean and meant business, and they had to wait till it was half built because it went up so quick, they got up halfway to the walls and everything was done, just ready to be completed, and they started to take it serious. They went to, started as we read, saying, it's impossible, you can't do it, to, what are you doing, to, we're going to stop you. And they tried to stop them. They did all kinds of things, and it's in the next chapters. But what I want to finish with this morning, and it'll take just a little bit, is the prayer that Nehemiah prayed that I don't hear people pray anymore. I was in Auburn Town for 16 years, and I taught this prayer. And a lot of people said, I don't want to pray that prayer. I'm afraid to pray like that. And that tells me a lot about people. When we learn this prayer this morning, and you're not willing to pray this prayer, it says a lot about us. It's God's work, not ours. All right. We need to repair, put back what he did before that's been broken down that he wants back. There is an enemy, isn't there? Isn't there? And if that enemy isn't stopped through prayer, what's halfway completed will never be done. There's a lot of stuff halfway done, isn't there? I've got some grandkids. The oldest one's fixing to be 8. And he's about halfway there. And I don't want to miss out. I don't want somebody to get in his life halfway through. Do you? And your family? Your life? There's a lot of health problems. There's a lot. But we're not that bad yet. We're halfway through. A lot of us. But when we get halfway through, and it looks like we're going to win, and we're going to get back the way that God told us to get back, there comes the enemy. Look at verse 4. Here's the prayer. Hear, O our God. And notice that he talked to God and not to the enemy. That's a good point, isn't it? Somebody needs to go over there and talk to them folks and back them down. Somebody needs to go over there and tell them what we've been able to do without them and intimidate them. He didn't do that, did he? He couldn't leave the work where he was at to go out where they're at to fight against them. Because it would just be a verbal war at the least. And they're at a distance. Did you know the enemy likes to stay at a distance? They don't want to come close. They don't want to get in there. They want to make it clear what side they're on and which side they're not. And from a distance, they make it almost impossible for us. But the prayer starts out to God, doesn't it? Hear, O our God, our God. Nehemiah's God, but everybody's God, our Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, huh? He's who we pray to when the enemy comes, when we're halfway through. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. He's telling God, they hate us. God knew that, didn't he? Christians are hated, aren't they? In fact, the Bible prophecy is pretty clear that one of these days they're going to start getting rid of us if we're faithful enough. He said, we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head. Pretty serious prayer, isn't it? It's their reproach that they don't believe in God. It's their reproach that they despise God's people. It's their ruin and their rubble that they don't have a heart to do anything in the world for anybody but take, 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 take. They don't care about people. They don't care about love. They don't care about protection. They don't care about safety. It's the same today as it was back then. He says, we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey the land of captivity. Put them where we were at, Lord. We were judged and we were separated and scattered. Lord, you brought us back. And we're talking to you, Father. We want to talk to our God. And we want you to turn the reproach upon their head. We want you to put them in captivity. And it says, and cover not their iniquity. Don't cover up their iniquity, because eventually it'll eat them up. And everybody will see it. A whole lot of folks try to cover their iniquity in this day and time, don't they? They try to cover up their sin. They try to make it normal. They try to put money to it. All these things. But Nehemiah prays, cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. Don't forgive them unless they repent. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. They provoke God, not us. The world is provoking God, despising us. And we're assigned to build, aren't we? And we're building for a reason, and we're repairing what's already been gone. We need to bring it back, don't we? God says, bring it back. Build it back, repair it. And Nehemiah prays this prayer. And he's honest, isn't he? I pray that, Lord, give them everything that they deserve, because they're an enemy. If they're an enemy to me, they're an enemy of God. It takes a lot for people to come out against the church. It takes a lot to come out against good people, godly people. It takes a lot to come out, and there's no doubt at all that it's just hate. We're living in a day and time where it's just hate, isn't it? There's no other reason. There's no anything to explain anything but hate. I prayed this prayer. You say, how can you pray that? Because I'm in the middle of something here, half built, and I'm not ready to go. And I read all through the Bible. David prayed like this. Paul prayed like this. I'll show you the scriptures if you want me to later on. David and Paul and Nehemiah prayed. I want to pray like they do. But you have to pray it with the right heart, and that's what's difficult. And you have to pray while you're building. The greatest time to pray and the best prayer to pray is when we're being attacked while we're working with obvious hate. And that's what we're in right now, aren't we? We've got the words of the angry enemy. It says it's impossible what you're going to do, and we're not going to let you do it. We're going to stop you. But then you got the words of God's worker. A worker that had a mind to work. The whole people did, didn't they? And we don't know how many. We don't know all that we're supposed to do as a church. But when we use a moral compass to begin with, everybody knows the right and wrong that's in their life. Adam and Eve got a conscience when they ate the fruit, didn't they? They was able to discern between good and evil. Conscience, Romans 2 said. We all have it, don't we? And because of that conscience, we can either work for the Lord or not. We can either be on God's side or scatter everybody away from Him. But the prayer that Nehemiah prayed was the most awesome prayer he could ever pray. He didn't get revenge. He didn't tell them anything. He didn't say, I hope this about you and I hope this about you. He didn't say that, did he? He talked to God, didn't he? And sometimes we need to sit down and talk to God about our enemies while we're still building, without quitting, knowing that if we give up, it's because we don't have, because we didn't ask. I just put together about 8 sermons, haven't I, this morning, a whole series of them. But I'm not worried, and I'm not as afraid as I used to be when I first started preaching. Because I've had a lot of people just the last year or two come to me and just bless my heart. A little girl named Kayla had a little boy. Was it 2 pounds, 3 ounces? 26, 27 weeks old. I baptized her. Married her and her husband, know them really well. And she shared a picture with me in the NIC unit where she was laying hands on him and praying. She said, "You baptized me, and I know you'll pray." Been a lot of years gone by. He lost down to 1 pound and something. But now he's back to 2 pounds and 3 ounces. And he's doing really good. I could tell you so many stories of things I thought I was halfway through and lost. Things that I got assigned to a part of back 35 years ago when I started pastoring. And all of a sudden, the last 2 years, I've had people come to me. "Thank you for praying like you prayed." And it's just between me and God. It's just as honest as we can be spiritually, that no one ever talks about. Why won't we talk like that to God, to pray? We'll talk to other people. We'll get mad and say things we regret and you have to get forgiveness about. But it's us that's despised. And they're an enemy. They are an enemy. What's going on now in the government that's perverted? That's sick and that's eternal, isn't it? Well, God just needs to stop it. He'll do it if somebody prays. And it might not be right away, because he loves them and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even them. See, we're in a church situation. And it's not a denominational thing. It's a blood of Jesus thing. And as they built and repaired the place that they were assigned, they didn't have any idea what anybody else was doing. If I see the landscape right, there's a lot of hills in Jerusalem. It starts up in the northeast corner and all the gates go around, and then it comes back up. And that many acres, I don't think anybody could see very far around anywhere. They might have only been able to see the work that they was doing. But the surroundings that they had, the people that were building with them, all had a mind to work, didn't they? Well, it's really easy to work when everybody around you wants to work, isn't it? And everybody had the same motive, and everybody in that particular place had the same assignment. And everybody built together their own little part, their own little gate, their own wall. And in 52 days, it was done, wasn't it? Thank God. We're wall builders and gate builders, aren't we? There's standards. There's a gate. There's people that need to stay out. And there's people that need to come through. But only God opens the door. That's not up to us. But when God opens the door, amen, it's time to go through. God loves us, doesn't he? We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. We've got some walls and gates. I call it the eye gate. I can see things, can't I? I can look at things. I can lust at things. I got a heart. It's a temple. It's precious where I worship God. And through these gates right here, if they're opened up in the wrong place at the wrong time, I've got something coming in into that temple building. We got ears, most everybody does, huh? I can hear a lot of things sometimes that make me mad, give me joy. If I'm not careful, I hear the wrong thing and do the wrong thing. And through these gates, they get in my heart. There's places I can walk. There's things I can touch. There's things I can smell. All senses, aren't they? They're there for a reason, aren't they? And then on the inside, there's discernment that the Holy Spirit gives me because He's inside of me. I'm His temple. And He says, don't do that. Don't go there. I don't feel good about this. Well, there's a good reason. That's the Lord inside of you saying, don't open the gate. There's a wall there. You've had a wall for a long time. You've made it through a whole lot of places. But there's an enemy, isn't there? And the closer and closer and closer we get to being done, the harder the enemy's going to work. And the only answer is to pray. Lord, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to do, take care of these people. Judge their sin. Be just with them like you were with me. It's a hard prayer, isn't it? Until you realize what's at stake. I've heard people say, well, it don't matter what you believe, and I don't know what it is. I've always been surrounded with guys that are just prophets and great Bible teachers and ask me all these questions. It makes no sense. It doesn't matter. There's things we just can't know. The secret things belong to God, don't they? Deuteronomy 29:29. But the things I know, it's what's going to get me through. And I've got kids and grandkids. I'm assigned to them. And here maybe in a couple weeks when I'm retired, they're going to see me more than once a week. And we're going to begin to build even more and more and more and more the walls and your gates that they need to have. Because I've got a mind to work. How about you? Why don't we have a mind to work? That's what we're here for. And it's not making anything brand new. It's not creating anything with anybody. Repairing what needs to come back. And we're working up against somebody else. All the way around. And then it's done. And God's pleased, isn't it? If He's pleased, everything's going to be all right, isn't it? If you're here today and you're not saved, this needs to be your day of surrender. That's what's missing, isn't it? Well, I plan to, I need to, I've been convicted, I've laid awake at night. But you've never surrendered. And you know, only God can do that, can He? And if this is your day, you need to come to Him and confess that you're a sinner and ask Him to save you. He will, won't He? Because He's the one that drew you. He's the one that convicted you. He's the one that has built up what you have already of understanding that you're lost. You're here today and you're saved, but you're not building. You need to build. You need to prove God, because He will, won't He? He'll prove Himself to us, won't He? And if you've planned to and you haven't, what's wrong? Is it not bad enough? Do we not want to pray? I do. I want to pray, don't you? I want to ask you this morning to stand and try to